Oh, I've got to confirm something, don't I?
Okay, and we are live. We are live.
Yeah, alive.
Yeah, so good morning or good evening, Monica, there
Good
in
evening.
Australia. Rosie in Brazil, good morning. Very early morning for you. And the mayor in France, good
Bonjour.
afternoon.
Bonjour. Non,
Bonjour.
bonjour. Ça
Goed.
va?
Okay. So for today, we are going to do a bit of role play, and I am going to give you some scenarios and some prompts. So you have to pretend to be someone else. Okay. So I'll give you your job, and then you have to tell me how would you handle a certain situation. Okay. So I'm reading our description that says, have you ever wondered what it feels like to step into someone else's shoes, even just for a moment? Okay. And then it says, maybe you've imagined the life of a doctor making tough decisions. Maybe you've pictured yourself as a teacher guiding curious minds. Or maybe you've wondered what it's like to argue a case as a lawyer in a busy courtroom. Okay, this isn't about perfect acting or getting every detail right. It's about playing, exploring, and seeing the world through a different lens or through different eyes. Okay, so I have some different professions, and you are going to like some of them and hate some of them. Okay, so I'm going to start with the first one. You are a zookeeper.
Zookeeper.
Okay, yes, a zookeeper. So during the busiest time on the weekend, one of the lions escaped from the lion enclosure and is hiding somewhere in the zoo. So what will you do to keep the visitors safe? Find the lion and make sure to put it back in its enclosure. But remember, you have to keep everyone calm.
Oh my God.
What will you do? So it's the busiest time on the weekend. There's people in the zoo. The lion escaped from its cage, walking around somewhere in the zoo. You have to keep the people safe. You have to catch the lion, put it back, and keep everyone calm. What would you do?
That's a good one. I like that.
Okay.
I
Monica, do
hopefully,
you have a plan?
you've got some. I've got some of an emergency button. So there must be some siren to warn people that there's an emergency. So I'd push that first of all, and then hopefully I'd get some backup and people to help me, because I'll, first priority is to keep everyone safe, but I can't do it on my own. And then the people know that something's happened, and so there'll be more people to help, and they can, try and get the people to a safe place. And but also then they have to start looking for this lion, this cute little pussycat that's prowling around the zoo, and have to catch it with that before it eats the people, because that's not good publicity for the zoo, and it's not good PR. So hopefully after pushing my alarm button, this happened last week in New South Wales. I don't know why the sister-in-law was in the zoo, and it was a private zoo in New South Wales in country, and she's went in, and now that then the lion bit her arm.
Your sister-in-law's arm.
Yeah, so it wasn't one of the zookeepers, so I don't know why, she was in there but had access to them. And yeah, so she's now got one arm less. But yeah, she wasn't a zookeeper or anything, so it was just a bit bizarre that she went in where she could get access to the lions, and it was just a small private zoo in near Dubbo or somewhere. But yeah, my main priority is just, so I'll push the button and there's a siren going, so they know there's some emergency. And then you're trying to keep everyone calm because some people might have seen the lion jump out or go jump over the fence. Can lions jump? And meerkats are my favourite animal. They're my soul animal, meerkats. And they live in Africa. But I want to get everyone out safe and without panic, because otherwise it will be like people running and trampling each other. So we have to try and keep them safe. So, you know, just try and encourage them to just walk quickly to get out of there. And that people are, others are hopefully looking for the lion and clearing the space. And then when they get the lion, hopefully they've got something like a tranquilizer dart so that they can calm it down and put it to sleep so that they can then move it back to where it really belongs and then tell him off for escaping.
Yes.
Naughty lion.
You've been a bad boy.
Bad boy. Don't do that again, Simba. Don't, yeah. So, yeah.
Yippee!
Okay, that's good. Yep. I will tell you what they do. I know I read about the procedures, what they do. So that was a very good answer. Okay, Rosie, what would you do?
Oh my God, I don't know. I am thinking about it. My God. What can I do in this situation? It's really, really hard. Maybe because if the lion escape, at the moment, put people in a room, because at the Zoom, there are a lot of people, right? And I think I will, when you have a radio, because...
Walkie-talkie, yeah.
Yes, walkie-talkie and for other... for all the employers, right? And... Please, can you keep people in a room?
Okay, get them inside.
Yeah, get them inside and tell them that that we will tell them some different history because we need to. To keep, because like you said, keep them calm.
Yes.
So, put inside and maybe we will show you a video about, I don't know. It's really
meditation on the beach,
or like the flight announcements. Yeah, like the flight announcements when you know the emergency procedures. So before you enter the zoo, you have to watch this video. In the unlikely case that a lion escapes from its cage, could you please unfasten your seatbelt and make a run for it?
Yes. Yes, Flink. Yes.
And don't worry about your luggage.
God.
And if you need the oxygen mask, make sure you cover them with your child first. No, yourself first and then your child. Because you're a taxpayer. Yes. The kid isn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I this is my first reaction, I think. So I don't know. It's really hard.
how will you find the lion?
Ah, yeah, my God.
tap on the cat food can. Get a can of cat food and tap on the lid with a spoon.
I'm
Monica,
whiskers, you know, cactus.
Monica, will you shut up, please?
No, I don't understand, but I think Frank will, Monica is trying to help me, and Frank, no.
The lion might be hungry.
Yeah.
I will tell you about that too.
Do you have whiskers in South Africa?
Whiskers, yes.
Yeah, you tap on the lid.
Rosie, let me explain. If you have cats, okay, if you have cats as pets living in your house, when you need to find them, if you open the food or the tins, either the tins or the bags, the cats come when they hear it. So what Monica is saying, use cat food, tap on the tin, maybe the lion will come out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to work because it doesn't eat cat food.
Chateaubriand, yeah.
Anna, yeah. I understand now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, do you wait for my answer?
Yes. How will you find the lion? You already have the people inside. So how are you going to catch the lion?
Get the lion how? Yeah, mate. I don't know. with food or do you know, oh my god, I don't know in English, when you have a little car, right?
Yes.
And you can take this little car and run
like a golf cart.
Imagine that fazer isso, no. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, this. I don't know.
Do you have lions? Do you have lions in Sao Paulo Zoo?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's
all right. I think we should issue a warning.
Yeah, but this I near my home, but I think not 10 minutes. 5 minutes from my home has a zoo, and the lion has just one lion. I think he's really, really old, because when you go there with children, he's always sleeping. I think he's really, really old, and my niece, oh, he always sleeping. Yes, but I think 5 minutes by car. We have I have a zoo here. Oh my god, and I can't imagine he's capping. No,
no, because he's too lazy.
Yes,
he's sleeping too much.
Yes.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes, asking for animals. If you want to donate animals for the lions somewhere, I can't remember where it was in the world, but they're asking for animals.
Animals. Denmark. It was Denmark.
Yeah.
I heard it on the radio yesterday.
Yeah, I've read that. And, you know, your guinea pigs or your chickens or rabbits or, you know.
Roosters.
Your unwanted pets, you should donate them to the zoo, but to feed the animals with your unwanted pets. Dogs, cats, birds, whatever.
Husbands, yeah. Wives, kids, I don't know.
They say for pets.
What, do you have a pet name for your husband? Well, there you go, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it on the radio yesterday. I was actually shocked.
Yeah, it is a bit shocking.
Okay. Yeah. Rosie, maybe you can give the other one a try. Okay, so I'm going to ask Frank, what are you going to do as a zookeeper?
Well, never in my life have I been as plagiarized as this?
Why?
Miss Kleinram. I had the brilliant idea all mapped out and you stole it from me.
ESP, Gedankenübertragung.
Well, I don't know what it is, but it's no, I call it plagiarization because
plagiarism.
I would like to state for the record, it is on paper and you were still faffing around with something. Yeah, well, I can put it into the post podcast, but you were faffing around and blah, blahing about something. And I was creating my masterpiece of a rescue plan, and you stole it from me.
Rosie, do you know what plagiarism is?
No.
It's in university if you use someone else's work and say it's your idea. So you have to reference things properly. Plagiarism, yeah. So it's really, you know, you get into big trouble with it at uni, and, you know, if you use someone else's
ideas.
Well,
not just in university, you also get
everywhere else, but you know.
At the lunch table with Janita and Frank.
And the lunch table with Janita and Frank.
But I mean, you are in such deep poo-poo. I don't know how you're going to get out of this one, Monica.
So it's when you say that was my idea. See, Frank's copied my ideas, or I copied his. I don't know.
Well, let's just get this right, yeah, because mine is on paper, okay?
Yeah, well, you heard mine. I've got witnesses there.
Anyway. So
that's what plagiarism is. It's copying someone else's ideas and not giving them the credit for it, like, you know, right, using references.
Anyway, so the idea, my brilliant idea that Monica stole from me, and I mean that's bad enough, but I think Fruit Loop was sort of kind of encouraging her because she knew where Monica was going with it. So have you two been talking?
No.
It's a sisterhood.
Because the zookeeper, so when I was a kid, I was a Sea Scout. And we of course learned Baden-Powell's slogan. Be prepared. So I, as the zookeeper, infinitely know that Simba has nothing better to do than to go out and become a chippy. Is that, have I got that right? Potatoes?
Simba anyway, chippy, well, yes.
Yeah, Simba chippy. So that's a different story.
A chippy's a carpenter.
We'll leave that one there as well. Anyway, so I came up with this brilliant idea that cats prefer whiskers, which is the slogan. Until Janita said, well, actually, lions are not cats. And you said, pussy cat. So I'm thinking, guy, come on, guys, you're taking away my idea.
So it's a big cat. It's seen as a big cat.
Well, you have two cans of whiskers. Other cat brands are available. I suppose I better put that one in as well. I found your idea very violent, you know, tasering and whatever else you said.
Tranquilizer.
Tranquilizing. Thank you. Somebody's listening. But look at the potential. I mean, this escape of the lion might have actually been insinuated or planned by the manufacturers of aforementioned cat food, which will now remain unnamed for marketing purposes.
Anonymous.
Because they might want to test the product, do a little bit of market research. And if you see a big hungry cat running eagerly to a small 330 gram tin of delicious, lovely smelling, wonderfully tasting cat food. No other pets were harmed in the making of this cat food.
Which we know would
be
of.
Then we would be utterly impressed by this, and the sales of aforementioned cat food would skyrocket. And this was my idea. I will state this for the public record. Ms. Kleinram.
Miss Little Cream, as my uncle in Germany called me. That's me.
Yeah, you whip up, you Little Cream, but you whip up a heck of a storm. Yeah.
So they could have done that, or they might be vegan, though.
A vegan lion.
Right, the whiskers with fish.
Okay.
Well, that was the other possibility.
Yes. Okay. Right.
That way no other animals were harmed.
Anyway, So my brilliant idea has been plagiarized. It has been stolen from me. I am now forever. You want to come and visit me in January 2026? You have another thought coming, Ms.
Because you make
your
pizza, French pizza. Yeah.
Right. So, Fruit Loop.
How are you going to keep your people safe inside?
I give them cat food.
The people.
Why not?
Remind me not to eat at Frank's again. You never know what will get in there.
Well, he told me about the frog legs the donkey and the frog legs and all the other kinds of meat, but now we know what he actually uses.
Add enough spices and you'll never know.
Well,
the smell will give it away.
Well, how do I keep the people safe? Well, if the lion is distracted by cat food because he loves whiskers so much, because cats prefer whiskers, this has been the slogan for decades.
Yeah, even I know it.
Well, it's been around a bit longer. Anyway, so if the cat is happy eating food, then the people can quietly walk away and leave the cat to its leisure. And given that, and they can all meet at Rosie's. And if this happens in Sao Paulo, they can all go around to Rosie's place and get breakfast there because it's breakfast time there. So or lunch, So the people in Sao Paulo, they could, if you give us your address, Rosie, then we can, publicize this. If the lion in Sao Paulo Zoo escapes, the zookeeper will whip out his magic can of cat food and everybody will meet in your apartment for coffee and cake. Yeah?
It's a safe haven.
Okay.
Okay.
And maybe a calperini or two if it's in the evening. Okay. We have a deal. Okay. Yeah. I think I just rescued my idea. Ms. Kleinram.
That's all right.
I know it's all right.
Oh, good.
Right. But I'm actually very curious to know on a serious note, what happens? What do they do in Johannesburg?
I don't know if they do it in Johannesburg. I never heard about the situation, but it did actually happen at a zoo in Germany. And then there was another zoo. I can't remember where, but one that I read of was actually in Germany where the lion escaped. But what they do, they have a siren or like an alarm to notify all the staff that there's a dangerous animal. Obviously, the alarm can't say it's a lion, but maybe one of the other animals as well. Elephants, rhinos, whatever, escaping. So they press the button and everyone is notified or the alarm goes off and they close off the zoo. They close all the entrances and everything to keep the lion inside so it doesn't go out. So, Rosie, the lion won't show up at your doorstep for breakfast. then what they do, the people who's inside, Rosie had the good idea there, they move them into the bathrooms and into the restaurants and into the shop or whatever. So they push everyone into an enclosed area where you can shut the doors and shut the windows to keep everyone inside. And then they also communicate with each other. The employees communicate with each other via radio to see if they can find the lion. And while they do this, someone else needs to go and see how the lion actually escaped. Okay. Did it jump the fence? How did it get out? Was the gate left open by accident? So they need to fix that problem first before they can move the lion back. So while they are checking the enclosure, the other team will be searching for the lion and they will in fact use a tranquilizer dart to shoot the lion with so that it goes to sleep. They'll put him on a stretcher and take him back to the enclosure or to a different enclosure if he escaped, he's in a certain way. The food idea will not work because lions in zoos are fed almost every day. They get fresh food, fresh water every day. So this lion is not hungry. Maybe he escaped because he was bored. In the wild, so if you go to the Kruger National Park, those lions maybe eat once a week. Once a week, maybe twice a week. So for them to bite someone because they are hungry is actually much, let's say there's a better chance of that happening, like a lion attacking a person in the Kruger National Park, or they see it as prey, easy prey, but not really in the zoo because they are fed every day. So
Yeah.
the cat food is not going to work.
Yeah.
Fruit loop,
I'm
fruit loop.
curious now. Yes.
Yes.
But
Yeah, Rosie.
I'm curious about how they catch the lion, because I understood that keep people inside, like I said,
Yes.
but how they
Find
catch.
it.
Yeah, find
Catch it.
the light. Yeah.
So some zoos, I don't know about all the zoos, but some zoos have cameras. Now, everywhere they have
Ah,
cameras. They can
yeah.
check the cameras, and then also obviously people walking in the zoo, like the rangers.
Yes.
So they'll find the lion, and then they have a special gun that shoots like a sleeping dart. So
Yeah.
they will shoot the lion with the dart and it goes to sleep, and then they will take it where it has to go.
Yeah.
They'll check the security cameras to see if they can find out where the lion went. Yes. And then also use the people on the ground. So the employees, the staff, they will also search for it in groups.
In this case, when you see in the camera where is the lion is, you can take a little card and get
Yes, you can take the
the employer has a little car to drive inside the Zoom. Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah,
a
we
golf
find
car.
him. Yes, like a golf cart, yes.
Yes. Frank,
Yeah.
what was your question?
Frank?
Oh, it
Yes,
wasn't actually a
please.
question, but when you
Oh.
mentioned Kruger National Park,
Oops.
I just want to make sure that you are aware of the dangers when you go there in October, that there
Enter
might
at own risk.
what for the
Follow the
lion?
rules.
What you the lion says, enter at your own risk, yeah, or is it for the
No,
people?
the park rules for the
The park
people.
rules for the people. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, please do us a favor and make sure if there's a hungry lion there, ask it if it's hungry, and if it says yes, then
No, I
we'll
won't.
walk away. What you won't ask it.
No, I won't ask it. I won't dare.
You could
Don't
teach
rub its tummy.
it English. Oh yeah, that'd be an interesting client for us. Do you
Yes.
speak English? Growl. Do you growl at English? Meow.
I actually learned something a few years ago when I went with my parents. My mom and I went on a night drive. So there's like a big truck and lots of seats with lights, and then they take you out for a night drive. We are planning to do this as well when we go in October. But that night we actually saw a leopard in a tree, but it was stuck in the tree because the hyenas chased it into the tree. So the leopard was stuck in the tree. And as we got closer, the hyenas were frightened of us and they ran away, so the leopard could actually jump out and run away too. So that was quite amazing. And then we drove a bit further and we got to there was a tar road, but the lions were lying on the tar road because the sun baked it nice and warm, and they were looking for the heat, so they were lying on the tar road for the heat. So the person, the guide who took us out, said, "Well, who wants to go for a walk, or who wants to go wee, because you can." And everyone was like, "No, the lions are right there." And then he explained that the lions know the truck. Okay, they see the truck as one big thing. They are used to this one big thing, or maybe a car. But as a person, if you climb out, the lions are going to get up and they are going to slowly move away. They don't see you as prey. They see you as a threat, maybe, but they will move away because they are actually very shy animals as well. Like cats. If the cats don't like you, they will hide. Like my sister's cats. If there's people, they run and hide. You won't find them until maybe later. But the lions will just move away. They won't try to attack you or hunt you down because they don't see you as prey. Hmm. Especially in the, like, in the wild areas. But in the zoo, they are used to people, so they are a bit more dangerous in a zoo.
Interesting question.
Yes.
Interesting question.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Very, very nice one.
My neighbor's cat still hasn't come back, Frank. I told her 10 days yours was away. It's been 3 weeks today.
I thought it had come back.
Well, it came back after 2 days, then left home again.
Oh, unhappy cat. Did it write a letter of complaint or anything?
Well,
fill out a question.
Maybe leave some food out, and we tried that. Yeah, but yeah, something out the food.
I think maybe the brand in question that you stole from me might help the cat come back.
Well, she didn't leave any food out. So about a week later, I said, "Have you left food?"
Well,
you've got to
change. I mean, the food will go off. I mean, our cats. Anything I put out in the morning.
It's biscuits. Dry food.
That's where the problem is. Give it the brand food that I mentioned.
Something ate it. And she said, was it a snake? I said, I don't think so. Or possum. I said, possum.
Or tuna. Tuna.
Oh, yeah. Your tuna's.
Yeah. Very expensive in South Africa, I learned. Okay. Do you have another question for us, Janita?
Yes. Curious. So this time you are going to be a pilot. Okay. So during a flight, you realize that one of the engines have failed. What do you need to do in this situation? So you are the pilot and one of the engines failed, meaning it doesn't work. So what are you going to do? Your airplane is flying. You are in the air and one of the engines failed. What do you do?
How many engines on this aircraft?
You choose.
If it's a single engine aircraft, you've got an issue. But if it's more than one, it's okay. This is coming from a glider pilot, okay? So, yeah, gliders, there's no engine to conk out. Yes. Well, you'd try and restart it, but then you'd send out a mayday and you'd try and find where the nearest airport is, and so that you can make sure that everyone's got their seat belts on, because like there was that accident over Thailand, I think last year, where actually someone from Adelaide ended up really badly injured because people like to take their seat belts off. So just tell the air crew that, you know, you've got an issue, and just to make, you know, and put an announcement out to make sure everyone's got their seat belts on, but obviously don't tell them that you've lost an engine, because then they would panic. And say, you know, and then try and find out where the nearest airport is where you can land safely. Hopefully you're not over water. And then, you know, like some planes have got four engines, so it's okay. Some have only got two. But, you know, you've tried to restart it, and then you have your co-pilot there, your first officer, and you'll be going through all your emergency procedures. And, but, yeah, the main thing is, you know, that everyone stays calm and that, but, yeah, you try and find somewhere solid to land. See, in Australia, because there's a Nullarbor which runs across, it's this road, often their flying doctor has to land on the road, so they get the police to stop all the traffic and the trucks, and flying doctor planes just land on the main road, on the highway. It is just long and straight. Excuse me. So, but, yeah, the main thing is, you know, you've got your procedures, you've practiced it heaps of times, like my bestie who's in Sydney's a Qantas pilot, he was flying to Melbourne last week to use the simulator, and you know how to do it. You've prepared for this. You trained for it. And so that's why you've hopefully got experienced pilots who know what to do. I think my obstetrician used this comparison. You know when to panic. And so yeah, so you know, the main thing is to sort of try and keep everyone's calm, safety, and they've, you know, because as soon as you get on a plane, you give them a safety briefing that, you know, and they all know how to brace if something happens. And but yeah, the main thing is they're strapped in and the rest is up to you, and that everyone's seated down, and that the crew, the flight crew, are also seated, because you might have to descend quickly, and just go from there and cross your fingers. And yeah, but no, it's the other day I was almost landing in Adelaide. We came down after the flight and then they started going up again. And this friend actually filmed me going, or in Flight Radar 24. He said, "Oh, this is what your flight did." I said, "Yeah, we were almost on the ground and they started going up again. It was a missed approach." And
that's scary.
Because the flying doctor gets,
That's really scary when you do that. I've had that once or twice as well. Thinking, oh,
and
God.
He said, it's not often, but we had a couple in Adelaide, but a friend has it up in Queensland because of fog and things. Yesterday there was a lot of trouble in Sydney with the fog. But, yeah, the pilots know what they're doing. So that's the thing. When you choose your flight, you choose an airline with a good safety record. So, yes, so I remember flying as a kid from South African Airways from Johannesburg back to Australia, and they obviously got, and there was a lot of water in between.
Yes.
So, yeah, but no, it's good. Get a plane with us, and you trust the pilot. And don't, and if you, when you land, don't, like that plane in America the other day, every second person took all their hand luggage. There was smoke, but they still took all their hand luggage. And then it showed in comparison one in Japan, where Japan are very, not regimented, but very
disciplined.
Sensible, probably disciplined, thank you. And they just all got off the plane quickly, but there's this plane smoking in America and half the people were grabbing their hand luggage. So obviously that slows down the emergency
procedure.
You know, to try and get everyone off safely. But, yeah, no, they're more disciplined and intelligent in am I allowed to use the word intelligent? In Japan, and, you know, can make a big difference. So, yeah, and just sort of, but, yeah, the main thing is to keep people calm, because if you think you're going to die, you tend to get a bit stressed.
Other behavioural forms are available.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. Rosie, what would you do if you were the pilot and you realised that one of the engines have failed? Now, what would you do in the situation? Stopped working. The engine stopped working.
Went on strike.
Oh, my God.
Three.
Yeah. Anita, you are great. This is more difficult than live escapes. Oh my God. Some button doesn't work, right? Yes?
Not the button, the engine that is keeping the plane in the air. The plane is flying, but one of the engines stopped working.
I don't see. No. I don't have no idea. I have no idea. Oh, my God. I can't be this pilot. I No, I don't want to be this pilot. No.
You don't want to be this pilot.
No. Oh, my God. I have no idea. Don't say.
Okay.
Frank, help me.
Well, would you like me to share my idea with you? Yeah. Well, in all honesty, what Monica said is true. If you have If you have no engines, you don't have engine failure. If you have one engine, then you have a serious problem. If you have more than one engine, then you can get through it. Because if you have a, if you're talking about a plane, you're talking about a, an airliner with usually four engines, and you can fly with three. But you have to land as soon as possible. So all that is actually true. And having lived close to an airport and having sort of been swept up by Top Gun, the first one in that period when I was living at an airport.
That used to be my favorite movie.
Oh, you just like Tom Cruise, that's all. Mind you.
No, I've got better taste than that in men.
Well, John's lucky. Anyway, I would add to my story that, of course, I'm always prepared as Baden Powell, so I would offer free cat food.
Free cat food.
Yeah, while we're negotiating the descent, yeah. So I think that's what I would do. Yeah.
Oh
Okay.
Okay.
What would you do?
So, Frank, what would you do with your passengers or with your crew? So obviously you give them free cat food, but don't you think it might affect their stomachs or something? Why are we getting free cat food?
Well, you'll be so distracted by feeling sick that you won't actually notice that, your demise, if it goes horribly wrong, won't be blamed on the airline and the insurance claims. Yeah, it will be the cat food was at fault, not the pilot. It wasn't a technical problem, or it wasn't a human failure. Yeah,
Yes.
it was the cat food that did it. Yeah. Because
Okay. Blame it on something else.
blame it on something else. Pass the buck. And of course, it would be recorded in the black box, which is actually orange.
Yes.
That people would go around and say, "Would you like some complimentary cat food on the airline?"
Oh my God.
And the crew would either be busy. Crew would be busy distributing the cat food, or emptying the champagne in the galley because they know it's going to. It's, if they're going to go down, they might as well go down in style. The corks would pop.
Champagne and caviar is my style, not cat food.
One, okay, we'll
Oh,
have to
funny
let.
you should say that. Just
Wait,
as you're
hang on, let me just
typing
hang on. Hang on a minute,
there.
Monica. And the captain would be, and every captain is called speaking. Have you noticed this? Good evening. This is the captain speaking. And they've all got the same name, Captain Speaking.
Related.
So Captain Speaking would make the announcement. Good evening, this is the captain speaking. We're terribly sorry to inform you, but we do have a slight malfunction of engine number one. There's absolutely nothing to worry about. We will be distributing free cat food for your comfort and discomfort. Are there any
Your
Fruit Loops
favorite
on
child.
board? Would any Fruit Loops on board please make themselves known to the chief purser because she is accustomed to go down in the style and comfort of her choice, which is drinking bottles of champagne and eating tins of caviar.
Yeah,
Oh
not
dear.
So all I've got all my bases covered. I think I'm safe. You can trust me to fly a
Trust him, he's a
747 or an
doctor.
A380. You can trust me to do this. I have sat in enough planes and flown enough miles as a passenger to know exactly what to do, which is to jump board and hop over and say, it's all your problem, mate.
Jump board.
Just as you're talking about that, a guy I know, I've met him, I bought his book at Stirling Fair. In 1994, he landed a DC-3. He lives at Goulwyn now, which is near Adelaide. In 1994, he had the same thing happen on a DC-3 over Sydney, and he landed in Botany Bay.
Just like Chap Captain Cook did.
Well, he was in a boat. It's easier in a boat than a ship. But this was in a plane and no one got injured. They all got out, but there was a lot of, he's still trying to clear his name. No one died. So Rod Lovell and he's one of my Facebook friends. But he's, yeah, I just sent him a joke about something. But, yeah, he landed it safely or put it down in the water, so it went for, got a good wash. But no one died, which is always very good, which is excellent. But, yeah, no, it was just clearing his name because there were faults with the aircraft, but he managed to.
Well, you've got to put into context, DC-3, they're about 100 years old, and any pilot worth his salt will say that was the last proper plane that was ever built, because anything that came later was so full of electronics and computers. Yeah, the DC fleet.
Now the Airbuses, sort of, they're running out of parts for something, so they're having to get them out of other planes, or the A380s. During the week. But, yeah, Rod Lovell, so he landed in Botany Bay. In a plane, not a boat.
Yeah, that's amazing. So Australia's been discovered twice now, first by by Robert Lovell. I mean, the history repeats itself.
It's like retro.
But in progress, because first it was a boat. Well, anybody, I think the question should be, if the boat loses the engine, what happens? Well, Captain Cook didn't have one. He had sails. Yeah. So the sail flew away. How do you solve that problem? Yeah,
go to the Vasa Museum in Stockholm.
Exactly. With the
20 minutes into its maiden voyage,
and then glug 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 glug, it went down. Yep. Yep. Anyway,
didn't have wings.
Anyway, right, Fruit Loop.
Oh dear.
Are we going to do one more? Are we going to do one more question, or are you going to call it done?
We can do one more. Okay, but anyways, for the flying, so it is true, the plane can fly with one engine, depending on how many engines it has. So most of the modern aircrafts are designed to fly with one or two engines, depending on how many they have. And then the captain has specific procedures that he has to follow, so the pilot. He has to contact the ground center or ground control to tell them that he has a problem. He has to inform his crew members. He will not make the announcement to say there's one engine down, but he will tell them that they are going to make an emergency landing because he has to land at the nearest airport. The plane can take him to where he has to be. And then he has to check all his other...
I didn't know what a plane was.
Landed in the bay. That's also fine if you can't make it further. But then he also has to check all his other, like his landing gear and everything else, to make sure that that is properly working, so that he can land the plane safely.
I've been plagiarized again.
No. I'm just thinking. If the breeder community is actually aware of the skills and knowledge that Janita has, she knows how to land a plane when an engine goes down, and she knows how to deal with a lion that's escaped from its cage.
Imagine the stuff I read.
I mean, we have a walking encyclopedia sitting here, and we didn't even know it.
A fountain of knowledge. A font. Described a politician about that. I can't remember who it was, but a font of knowledge.
Well, I'm dead. So I'm gobsmacked. She's going to come to me. I need more money. The price of champagne has just gone up. I mean, it's just gone through the roof because Fruit Loop's just, you know, she's so incredibly knowledgeable in all things. Okay, come on. Let's do a hat trick, Fruit Loop.
Okay. This one is quite interesting. You are a car sales representative. You sell cars. Okay, so the story goes, a person, let's say that person is me, Bring my car to trade in for a new one. Okay. You have to assess my car, but it has a lot of damage. I bumped it into something and it looks bad. And you cannot take this car from me. as it is. But I insist that you take it because I want a new one. It's easy as that. What would you do and how would you handle this situation?
I think I know.
Okay, Monica, what would you do?
This is so funny. A few years ago, there was a tsunami, but that's all right. So they kept saying, you have to sign now. I was looking at Subarus or Japanese. You better sign because it will take ages to get another car. This is a tsunami. But I took my Golf. I was looking as a price for trade-in, and John said, just watch it. They'll take it, and they won't want to give the keys back. They want to sign the dotted line. And John, Frank's met John. He doesn't take nonsense. And that's true. They sort of basically wanted me to, this plate dealership wanted me to sign and were really pushy. So what I'd do, I'd say, okay, you might get a better price if you sell your car privately rather than trading it in, you see, because if they sell it, they, you know, it's had a few dings and dents and looks pretty average. Very sad. It's from, you know, running into lions and all those things out and, you know, that you bump into in Johannesburg. It's like all the Americans think kangaroos hop down the street in Australia.
Well, they do.
So, and then they said, yeah, they said, look, to be honest, I've never met an honest used car salesman or car salesman, but that's all right. I say, you need to, you know, to get a better price, you might be better off selling it privately, but we'd be happy to sell you the latest Mercedes. But, you know, just so you get a better price for your other car, try selling it privately or in the, you know, what do they use now? I'm not crazy. Whatever they use now to sell cars. And
we have a place called We Buy Cars.
Oh. What a name.
So they'll buy any car, doesn't matter what
that's
it looks
like. Toys R Us, almost like, oh, Toys R Us has gone broke. But to be honest, they'd get you a far better price. You know, we're happy. Look, I can show you all our cars here and we'd be happy to sell you whichever one suits your needs. And, you know, this really nice red one is beautiful and it would go really, really well with, you know, or a blue one with your nail polish. It would look perfect.
Can I have it in pink, please?
Pink, please. Oh, there's a pink Range Rover here with personalised number plates, Monica, and people keep sending me photos of it. It's in Adelaide here. I've seen it myself. But you know, we could sell you this car, but, you know, you'd get a much better price if you sold it privately than we can give you. We are only thinking of what's best for you, you know. And so, but, you know, here's a range of cars, whichever, you know, I can happily show you all the things here and, you know, just tell me what things you need in it.
Like add-ons or extras.
What add-ons, yeah, what, no equipment, accessories you'd like. Just tell me, we'll find something that suits you perfectly. But, yeah, I would recommend, you know, just for your own, you know, your own financial well-being to go and sell it privately. You'll get a better deal than we can offer you, sad, or, you know, regrettably, that we can give you something to that effect.
Okay.
I cannot sell fridges to Eskimos. I'm not good at sales.
God, I wouldn't have believed that after that that little demonstration.
That was a great sales pitch.
Hey, you're the one who copied me with my ideas. So no. Rosie, you do a better job than I did.
Okay, Rosie, let's hear what you would do. So I bring my car to you. It's damaged. I want you to take it from me because I want a new one. What would you do? What would you say?
And I need to buy then, right? To buy it.
Yes.
Miss Anita. You have Yeah. You have a damaged car, right?
Yes.
And you need to sell it, right?
Yes.
And Nossa Senhora. Oh my God. Nossa, it's very difficult this situation. Okay, maybe I am thinking about this. Maybe I can buy this car, right? But I need to buy it and then sell it too, right? For other person, other people, right? Isn't it? I think, yeah.
You have to take the damaged car from me and sell me a new
So,
one. And then what do you do with the damaged car? That's up to you.
yeah, no, no, não tem condições. não tem nem que dar desconto, deixa eu ver. And you have a new one. Nossa Senhora. Peraí, Nossa, mas não tem condições. Because I am thinking about you have a new one and you have a damaged car, but you have a new one car, right? And
I want you to sell me a new one and take the damaged one.
I think I will be honest with you, right? And okay, you can give me your damaged car, but the price. Ai, não sei, gente. Peraí.
Like you give me a low price for it.
Because not no 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 no. Yes, a lower price. No, because you are giving me a damaged car. Nossa, it's difficult this. Maybe a. Ai, Anitta, não sei. Oh my God.
Ai.
Tem.
Vai, é, I don't know.
Ok.
Não sei, gente. I'll be honest with you and okay, you want a new car, but you have a damaged car. I can take your damaged car, but the price it the lower price is not a good percentage. It's a lower percentage too. Okay, it's a, because you have a damaged car, you have a you want a new car, so I will take your damaged car, but the price isn't the price will not be cheaper, right? Only a pequena. Only não sei. Sorry.
Like cheap. You give me a cheap price or a low price to buy my damaged car. And then, okay. Yes. And then you'll sell me an expensive new car.
I think it is.
Okay. Frank,
Can
be
I
the
just
best car
excuse myself?
salesperson.
Sorry, this has been, I'd love to stay, but I have to meet the Member of Parliament. I've
Oh,
got the Mayor
yes.
here, Janita, who's brilliant, Rosie, but I'm going to see this Member of Parliament who I actually voted for him. So I better check him out and see. And his wife's having a baby next week, so he'll probably be busy for a while. But thank you. Tonight was brilliant. But I just have to sort of go and present a few things.
Okay. Thanks for joining. We'll send you the
podcast. Thanks. I'll talk to you soon, though. Thanks, but it was brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica.
Take care. Bye. A laugh a minute. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Take care.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, sorry, I really don't know what's wrong with this internet today.
It's okay.
Now, Frank, be the best car salesperson.
Well, I've actually already got a track record, and it is publicly available. I have already actually sold you a car once before in my life.
Yes, the ugliest car in the world, yes.
I managed to sell you the ugliest car in the world, and you were complaining about aching cheekbones. I have also noticed that yes. Monica and Rosie were struggling.
Yes.
So why should I do the hard work? So okay. I've had a long day.
Yes.
I want to have a little bit of fun and entertainment.
Yes.
I know that I'm going to take your car because I know what I can do with it.
Yes.
So I just want to have a little bit of fun. And I want you to convince me why I should buy that heap of metal that you are presenting me and camouflaging it as a car with a few knocks and bumps.
Oh, that's easy.
Well, tell me.
Really?
Yes.
When
you take this damaged car, as a car dealership, you have connections and friends who has mechanics and panel beaters and places and so forth. So you can buy this car at a low price and then you can get it fixed through your friends and you can sell it for a higher profit. So you can make money out of my damaged car and I buy a new car, which gives you more profit.
Thank you. And if all else fails, yeah. I can just get it and get some cash for the scrap value.
You can.
Yeah.
Sell the parts if you like.
Exactly. So there you go. Thank you for doing my job for me.
Okay, so I learned this from Jean, my husband, in the car industry. So they would take a damaged car, obviously assess the damage first to see that if it is fixable. They will get some quotations from the panel beaters and the spray painters and the people they knew, they were friends with, mechanics as well, if there was any mechanical problems. And once they have the quotation, they would tell the customer, okay, this is what we can offer you for your car. This is what it's going to cost us to fix it. So this is what we can offer for you. So once they get the car, they will fix it.
Yeah.
It will look brand new, and then they will sell it at a higher profit. And they sell a new car to the customer, so they make like a double profit.
Voila.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, in some moment I thinking about that too, like buy your damaged car, fix this car, and sell for a high price. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yeah. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. You see?
That's definitely what they do.
So what did we learn in today's lunch? Janita will sell you her old banger. She will know how to catch a lion. And if you fly, fly with Janita International Airlines, and an engine goes down, you're safe with her. Janita, as we established earlier this morning, you are a superhero.
Yes,
I know things. I might not be able to do it, but I know things.
At least you have the theoretical knowledge, yeah.
Yes, in theory, it should work. So. Frank, I'm going to give you the last word before my internet decides to bomb out again.
Well, I think this has got to be one of the best lunches we've had.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a huge amount of fun. Very revealing how we would deal with slightly hypothetical but still realistic situations.
Yes.
And I suppose that the lesson learned is you never know when these things might actually happen. I mean, we hear about it. We hear about it. But be prepared. So thank you for a lot of fun.
Yes.
Brilliant questions.
Yes, brilliant questions.
But also, you know, good educational knowledge sharing.
Yeah. It's my pleasure.
Top.
Yes.
Top marks.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.